Lens with Darren and
Tracy. Hi.
Once again, we're going without the awesome introductory music because I still don't know how to calibrate the sound levels on my app.
So, I love the music.
I know, but people said it's so loud.
That's the only way we're going to get sponsors is if we have the music, Darren.
Okay, so A, if you know how to fix sound, hit us up. Or B, if you're a sponsor and you want to sponsor us either with sound or without sound at the opening, let us know. We're open. We would probably let you sponsor Through the Lens for like a pizza.
Yeah, that would be great. Like, I love sausage and pepperoni.
We don't need like real cash. Like if you're a pizza place out there and you want to talk about how good your pizza is, we'll just eat it while we review movies.
Yeah, that would be fun. Extra cheese too.
Yeah, so I mean if there's something else that we could eat, we will do that too. Not limited to that food group, but
well, ice cream's always good.
If you're an ice cream company and wants to talk about your ice cream, we'll watch that. We'll eat it and while we watch the movie. So, you know, this is the opportunity to help us help you, you know. Speaking of helping people, what are we reviewing today, Tracy?
Blue Beetle.
Okay, let's go with the stats first. Length, rating, and credit scene.
Length, 2 hours and 7 minutes. Rating, PG-13 for violence.
I think there was a few curse words.
There were a few curse words.
And like, I don't speak Spanish, but I think that one word is a curse word.
Yes, I'm sure.
And like, I don't know enough to know whether it's a bad one or an okay one, but they called somebody
a B.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so there's probably some Spanish cursing into. And then the end credit scenes, Tracy.
There's two.
Yeah, one kind of early on, and then one at the very, very end. If you like have to go to the bathroom and you gotta leave, the last one, I just kind of didn't get it. So you might be able to miss that one.
Yeah, you can miss the last one, but the first one I thought was pretty cool.
It's pretty important, I think. So, all right, now let's talk about Blue Beetle. Blue Beetle is a DC comic book movie. Blue Beetle, actually, I'm gonna make a comparison. I'm gonna hold in my back pocket for a minute to the Marvel Universe, but Blue Beetle is not a high listed character. He's not Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, Flash. But he's in the comic books, but people might not know him. And we've talked about this, I don't know where we are, but like Zack Snyder took over. No, he was the DC Cinematic Universe, and then he got kind of kicked out, and now it's James Gunn, right?
I think so. I'm confused.
Well, it's confusing because Flash was like kind of be a pivot point, and
yeah, Flash was the pivot point.
But
I don't remember
if there's a Blue Beetle and there's an Aquaman movie coming out, but they're kind of redoing the whole DC Cinematic Universe. So I'm not really sure if this is in the old one or the new one.
Well, to be fair, both Blue Beetle and Aquaman were done like around COVID times because I saw in the credits there were the COVID like people.
Oh, like the checkers to make sure everyone's okay and stuff?
Yeah.
Look at you reading the credits.
Yeah. I always stay for the credits and read them. Yeah.
I always like to pick out like one random name from the credits and ask you if you're familiar with their work. It's like the 17th visual effects person or something.
COVID compliance. That's what they are. Yeah.
So we're not really sure where this fits in the DC universe, but aside from maybe some references like, oh, Batman sucks, there really wasn't much tying it with the other DC movies. It's pretty standalone. Would you agree?
Yes, I would agree.
You don't have to have seen any DC movie. Would you agree?
I would agree.
You can disagree. It's okay.
Although I do have a question, and I'm trying not to spoil anything. There was a certain song playing in the one end credit scene, and I was trying to remember where did I hear that song?
Well, now I forget because my brain's turned off. But in terms of watching the movie, there's nothing in there where you're like, oh, this happened.
No
but character.
I think the end credit scene leads to whoever's associated with that song.
They're trying to tie things into some sort of universe here. And I don't think... Oh, actually, Tracy, I bet you've never read a Blue Beetle comic, correct?
That is true.
Do you feel you need to know anything about Blue Beetle to enjoy this movie?
No.
It's your standard origin story movie. It kind of lays out the character and the rules and his powers and all that. So you really don't need to see anything. Who's in this movie, Tracy?
Why'd
she look at me like, she gave me a look like, why are you asking me that question? I don't know. I ask every single episode. We're doing this like 10 years now.
There's really like two people that you know, George Lopez and Susan Sarandon.
I need to throw out George Lopez for a minute.
Yeah.
He is not a guy who looks younger than he is.
No.
He's like, I know we had the game where everyone looks better than me. He looks pretty rough in this movie.
Yeah.
And Susan Sarandon, I don't think we're spoiling too much. She plays the bad guy.
Yeah, and I don't understand why.
It was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know where they're going with that, but it's okay. I mean,
yeah.
What'd you think of her performance?
I don't know. I mean,
she was a mustache twirling bad guy. Not a lot of nuance or layers or like, you know, like a lot of movies nowadays, they want like the bad guys to kind of have a nice backstory and maybe you understand them or maybe you, she just was bad.
Yeah. Yeah, she was bad.
Let's talk about the plot. What'd you think of this movie, Tracy? Or I can give you my comic book thesis. Which one do you want to do first?
Comic book thesis first.
This movie was like a DC interpretation smashed up of Iron Man and Ant-Man.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
That's good, yeah.
So the Blue Beetle suit design looks a lot like Iron Man's suit, but blue, kind of. It has some other features to it. But don't think I'm spoiling too much, but Marvel was doing this for a while. The bad guy is like an evil kind of version of the good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of went that way. Remember Ant-Man, the guy was stealing the technology for himself, and then the first one, remember?
Yes.
And then in Iron Man, the second one, he kind of made his own suit or whatever. So, or maybe it was the third one.
Yes.
In any case, it kind of smushed those together, both in terms of the design of the superhero and kind of the plot. So I'm going to lay that out there. Agree or disagree?
I would definitely agree. That's a good way to synopsize.
Yes. So what did you think of the plot now that I laid out my thesis?
I think the plot supports your thesis. I think, you know, I mean, there wasn't much to it. They laid it out. Everything that happened sort of followed it. And you know, there was a lot of family thrown in.
Yeah, maybe we should sprinkled
with some family love. How about that?
Maybe we need to sprinkle in like Fast and the Furious because it's all about the family.
Yes, so, it's all about the family.
That's probably, if Blue Beetle brings anything new to the table, especially for the DC universe, it probably is that kind of heavy reliance on family. Although Shazam kind of did that.
Yeah, Shazam does it.
So, but you know, interesting for me, I felt like the family in this movie was really maybe the stars. The Blue Beetle guy didn't really do much. Maybe at the end.
Well,
they had a lot more to do than normal family supporting characters.
Yes.
There was large chunks of the movie where like it literally was about the family. And it wasn't like boring backstories. It was like, let's have them do something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, it was a pretty standard plot. Doesn't really bring a lot new to the table, I would say, but it doesn't really drag too much.
No, I don't think so. I didn't look at my watch once.
No, and it's a long movie. I hinted about my Iron Man, Ant-Man comparison, but what'd you think of the special effects and in particular the suit design, which looks pretty comic accurate, by the way.
Okay. I kind of liked the Blue Beetle like transformation.
Yeah.
And without spoiling, you'll probably use your brainwaves to figure out. I also liked how we were able to see the past of someone.
Interesting. Okay. I use my brainwaves for that. I thought the suit was, it was okay. It had the kind of, you could see from the poster and the trailers, it can create things. Like, unlike Iron Man, who has the weapons pop out of it, he can create things with his mind or whatever. So that had some cool looks there, although I felt like, man, is there anything more you can do than cool guns and swords? I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
there's a lot of different swords. Like, why are you stabbing things when you can shoot them?
And he talked more to the computer voice than Iron Man does to his.
Yeah, it's a semi-sentient kind of weird scarab thing. So yeah, it's a person. My favorite part of the special effects was the vehicle. The bug thing.
Oh, yeah.
It looked cool. The design was cool. It kind of, they did some stuff with it.
It kind of looked like 1950s-ish.
Well, it did. I don't want to spoil where it came from, but it is. It was kind of a throwback technology. Okay. It also kind of reminded me of the vehicle in Watchmen. If you remember,
it's been a while.
It's like the Batman equivalent's vehicle, the owl.
Okay.
Mobile. But anyway, it looked cool. It was very thematic because it's basically a cool looking bug thing. So I thought that looked cool. But you know, the special effects were actually pretty solid, much better than Flash. Like the CGI.
Yeah.
And there was probably, I don't know, would you say 3 standout special effects scenes? The one in the end.
The one at the end.
The one at the ship. When the music was playing.
Yeah.
And there weren't that many, like, super, I guess the beginning scene when he got his powers.
Yeah.
I was going to say, he didn't really do that much. Like, it wasn't like...
Yeah, it wasn't, it was more, Darren's right, it's more the family, it's more, you know, the mustache twirling villain, you know.
Would you want to see Blue Beetle come back?
Wait a minute. In the comic books, was the villain a woman or a man?
So I'm familiar with the Blue Beetle character, and I've read some of the books, but it didn't follow the plot the same way. Like Cord Industries is in there, and that Ted Cord guy, he's in it. I think it's, I might get this wrong. Sorry, DC fans, I'm more of a Marvel guy. I think it's like Ant-Man. So do you remember Ant-Man? There was the Michael Douglas character, and then there was the Scott Lang character where he kind of came younger.
Yeah.
I think Ted Cord is the original Blue Beetle. Like in the comic books, Ted Kord's in it, and this guy came on, Jaime came on later. So that part is kind of accurate, but I don't remember the whole. I don't think there's been a plot line that I know of with the mom and all that stuff. Well, Omecs are real.
Okay, maybe that's why Susan Sarandon played it the way she did. Maybe it was meant for a guy.
I'm not sure. Yeah, he's so. The other reason why I compared him to Iron Man and Ant-Man is. Iron Man is big now, but before the movie came out, no one really knew who Iron Man was. So
right.
He is like a D-list character. Ant-Man is a D-list character, and they make him popular. So I know about him. I've read him and stuff, but I'm not as familiar with him. And I think he's kind of his introduction. He doesn't have that much baggage. Like, oh, they're not accurate to the comic books. Like, you know, Superman killed people, like in that one movie. People are like, that's not what Superman does.
Yeah.
But you're kind of free when no one knows anything about him.
Yeah.
Like MODOK.
Yeah.
No one knows MODOK but me. Sorry, had to bring in my...
You had to bring in MODOK and show your skill.
Well, his name's Darren. do you want to see Blue Beetle come back in the DC Universe? Do you need more Blue Beetle?
Well, after the end credit scene, I say yes.
I'm kind of torn. Like, this is my theory of this movie. Don't really know why it was made. It didn't have to be made. It didn't add, like, anything. But it was kind of enjoyable to watch.
Yeah.
Like, my life would not be emptier without Blue Beetle in it, but
it was okay.
It was a good way to enjoy 2 hours. And I did, the CGI was pretty decent. The fighting, there was like 3 fighting scenes I got into. Tracy, did you get the feels?
Yes.
Yes, Tracy got the feels. Let's talk about, what did you think of special effects? Because I've been running on about it.
I thought they were okay. I mean, they weren't, like, extraordinary.
I think CGI has gotten to the point where it's really hard to figure out what is extraordinary anymore. Because even the Marvel special effects are getting kind of, like, ragged.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen, you know, the guns that shoot fire, and you've seen the big explosions, and you've seen... Well, there was no real water feature in this.
No.
But the one scene that's on the trailer.
With the bus?
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, actually, if you've seen the trailer, it's basically the first 15 minutes of the movie, and then you're kind of free of that.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say was a nice touch, and they didn't do it very often, but when he's in his suit thing and he talks, they took the care to make his mouth move under the suit, like you could see it move.
Oh.
You know, because Iron Man's is kind of shiny, like it's a hard metal plate. But this is kind of like you could see his lips moving underneath the suit.
I didn't even pay attention to that. Okay,
yeah, like
that's
his mouth
cool.
moved. So I thought that was kind of a nice touch. And it had some texture to the suit. Although at the end, it started looking a little rubbery. Like at the beginning, it looked metal. So I have one more comment I need to get off my chest about this movie.
Go ahead.
Some of the soundtrack choices were a little weird.
And guess what? I don't even remember some of them. And that's usually, for me, music is one of the things that I
Well, that's why I had to bring it up. Well, the songs they picked often were like awesome, like fight montage songs. But like the one when they played Kickstart My Heart.
Yeah.
I felt like the action that went with it was a little slower because the thing, it wasn't like as fast as the beat of that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, this is a great song. I want to fight. But it was like, well, that's too slow.
Yeah.
So that was like a little weird. And then the Cypress Hill song, I think that they play at the end, the words didn't thematically go with what was going on in the plot. Like it should have, I don't know. So I was really thinking about it. But they were pump up songs, but they just didn't fit the action as much. That's my that's my deep thought of the day.
Yeah.
And I don't get into music as much as you and my lovely wife, Marcia, do.
Yeah. I mean, this movie's not going to be nominated for any best score or music or anything like that. So.
Probably best actor for George Lopez.
He was okay. I mean, he was George Lopez.
He was. So,
I mean, he had a couple funny lines.
He was pretty funny the whole movie. I mean, it was completely, his character was completely unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, he just has all these innate skills that can figure this all out.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't know where all that came from. But.
Yeah, I have all these computer skills and tech skills, and I'm going to help you save the day.
Yeah, but at least he had something to do. So.
Yeah.
Tracy, it's time. Who's going to like this movie? And then the final score.
Okay, so people that will like this movie, I would say, are DC fans. I would say people that don't pay attention to critics' reviews of this movie.
I thought the reviews have been decent. I don't read reviews before we do this.
I thought the reviews that I have heard about were negative.
I don't read reviews before the movies because I like to come in fresh and give you my unvarnished opinion.
Well, I haven't read them. I've just heard.
Oh, okay. Well,
I would say, I don't know. There were kids younger than 12 and 13 in there, which
it's not scary.
It's not scary or violent, but I would say, you know, teenagers, boys, you know, it's a certain, demographic, it's a Hispanic family, of course. And so I think, you know, I think that they would enjoy it just because the whole family thing just really, it clung to me.
I will give it credit for this. You know, I think there's always, especially in comic book movies, but in movies in general, there's this sense that it's hard to get representation in movies. And then sometimes you start feeling like people are just jamming it in, like, oh, we're going to do this to do it. But it really felt organic in this movie. I think it's because the whole family is part of it, as opposed to like, oh, we're just going to make a, you know, we got to pick this demographic to get that market share or something. So I felt like they really kind of went all in on that and it felt much more organic. Much in the same way that I thought Miles Morales was such a good character because it was just kind of organically part of what they did, as opposed to we need to, you know, check some different things off. I think comic book fans will like it. It's much lighter in tone than most of the DC movies, including even Flash, which has some funny parts.
It's very much lighter than most of the DC stuff.
I mean, I'm not going to give it the credit of the quality level, but in terms of tone, it's much closer to the Marvel movies with action, a little bit of feeling, but also comedy in there. Mm-hmm. So I think they're maybe finding their way a little bit in that regard, or at least copying Marvel more effectively. Where do you have a care to put it, like what it's better or what it's worse in the DC movies you've seen?
Well, I think it's, you know, I like Flash. I liked Shazam, although I liked the first Shazam better than the second Shazam.
Yeah, although I think it's been long enough, we could say the unicorns are cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool.
That's probably the best part of the movie.
That was cute, yep. I would, you know, of course, people that know me know that I like my superheroes dark and brooding. So the Superman and the Batmans.
Oh, you like those? Yeah.
I like those.
To me, tone is a little bit more effectively pulled off than the Shazams was tried to be funny and kind of realistic, but they were both kind of that level of goodness. I think it's a well-made movie, but it didn't have the, like, big stakes of... I liked Flash. I know it's getting dumped on. It's fun to rip on it. The CGI was a little wonky, but
yeah,
it had some interesting ideas, and it kind of brought a little something new to the story with the idea of paradoxes and time travel and all that. And but it wasn't as well made as this. It was just an interesting movie to me. But I think this was much more well made than the, like, the CGI didn't bother you. The plot mostly hung together pretty well. The bag, Susan Sarandon was kind of mustache twirling, but she was, you didn't like her.
No, I mean, you didn't.
You kind of want that out of a bag, right?
You didn't. I still just want to know what the meaning was of casting her. I just don't understand.
Maybe they were like, you know what no one will ever see coming? Susan Sarandon.
Maybe her and George Lopez are friends. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know, the political beliefs of the director and Susan Sarandon are the same. I don't know. I know he did not direct her in anything, because I already checked that angle.
Has she been a... I don't want to go into the discourse of Susan Sarandon's filmography, but has she ever been a bad guy before? That you know of?
Not off the top of my head.
Not like an action movie bad guy, for sure.
No.
Yeah, it was definitely playing off type, which was, I mean, it was interesting. Yeah. I haven't seen her in a while.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a good actress.
Yeah.
But it was kind of funny to see someone of that level of, like...
That's
talent,
my, yeah.
Just going all in bad. Because I know no one likes it as much as I do, but I really liked, was it Kate Blanchett in Ragnarok?
Yeah, I thought she was good in Ragnarok.
She was good.
Yeah.
Because she was good acting and bad.
Yeah.
She was strange, just like, F it, I'm going bad.
Wait, Helen Mirren, wasn't she in a superhero movie?
Helen Mirren was in the Shazam movies.
Yeah.
She was one of the, like, people, the daughters of...
Yeah, yeah, all Oscar winners. I mean, it's weird.
I think it's if you're a DC fan, I don't know what's going on with the universe. You don't either. No one does. But it's a nice little standalone movie. You can turn your brain off. You won't get mad. There's nothing in there to tick you off. George Lopez is funny. The special effects are better than Flash, believable, and the car's pretty cool.
The car's pretty cool.
What's your rating, Tracy?
My rating for Blue Beetle is, even though I got the feels.
You did.
And even though I didn't look at my watch, it just didn't have everything I was looking for in a superhero movie. I'm going to give it a 7.5.
Echoing what you're saying, I think they set up something that could have had the much bigger stakes and bigger scope. They're kind of like going towards like a final big battle or a final big, the world could be bad. And it just never really got to that point. So I agree. I'm coming off. I don't want to. It's hard because it's a comic book movie. I'm like on a weird scale because comic book movies I love. So I usually grade them high. DC movies usually are disappointing. So I kind of grade them low. But this was like just pretty satisfying. I'm going to go 7.25.
Okay.
And that's mostly because I just didn't buy the main guy. I like the family. Susan Sarandon kind of cracked me up. But the main guy just didn't really have that arc that I needed. He's just kind of like a guy. But I like the family. So 7.25.
Yeah.
Tracy, when can people see Blue Beetle at the Strand?
Okay, so Blue Beetle will play again on Thursday the 24th at 4 and 7:15, and we will probably have it next weekend as well.
And then what else is coming? I did miss the Meg, and I'm kind of sad about that. I mean, it's still here, right? But
yeah, it's still here. What else is coming? So we have Gran Turismo,
based on a video game, but I heard it actually might be good.
Who knows?
They like actually went to all these tracks with all these cars and raced them.
Okay, I don't even know.
Gran Turismo is a race car movie.
The Equalizer 3, My Big Fat Greek Wedding 3, A Haunting in Venice.
Wait, they're doing another Big Fat Greek Wedding movie?
Yeah, you probably won't want to review that.
I'm sick that day, whatever that is.
And then like I said, A Haunting in Venice. That's the another Agatha Christie with Kenneth Branagh as the...
Oh, they're just making more of those now?
Yeah, A Haunting in Venice.
Can I tell you about A Haunting in the Strand Theater?
Yes.
Last movie we watched here, what was that? Doesn't matter. There was a trailer, and it scared the living life out of me.
Was it The Nun?
No.
Was it The Exorcist?
Worse. The Paw Patrol second movie. I watched this thing and I said, I can't believe I might have to review another Paw Patrol movie.
Yeah, the first one we reviewed, we had all these questions
like, why
about
is this
how
kid?
How the dogs got all this stuff.
And how's a kid driving a semi truck? And like, is it safe to let these puppies do these things?
Let the dogs out.
It's, oh my God. And then this new one has them getting superpowers.
Oh,
so it combines
gracious.
Everything you want. And here's the sad part. Like, I would like to be sick that day, whatever it is. But I'm guessing Parker actually would want to see it because she is now into Paw Patrol.
You know what? I had fun the first time we watched it because I am not really an animated movie type of person. But I had fun, like, asking all the questions.
No, it was so random. Like, actually, that's one of my favorite reviews because, like, I was like, how is this even a thing? Like, why is anyone concerned about all these major issues? So the Paw Patrol second movie is coming out where they get superpowers. And
yeah, the end of September.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, depending on the strike, we might have an Oscar show soon.
Oh,
where I can talk about Cillian Murphy and Oppenheimer and how he's going to get that Oscar.
Oppenheimer.
So.
You just.
I had to throw
had
it
to
in
throw
there.
It in there. I haven't seen it, but I just know that he's not my guy, so.
The movie is fabulous.
I heard people say it, like, upset them.
Well, it's very thought-provoking. It's very deep.
Yeah, not upset like it's bad. Like it actually had like meaning to it.
Yeah. I mean, you can't stop thinking about it for days and weeks after.
Kind of like I was with Smurfs the Lost Village and Monster Trucks.
No, nothing like that. Kind of like you were with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Hopefully we'll see y'all next week on Through the Lens.